roughly 24 to 92 hours ago, Stab's team of comedy scientists commissioned four specific humorists to give various potentially comedic takes on several random topics, which they'll now perform for the first and likely last time in front of a live studio audience in a show called
Northern England, Ireland, they've got to pay for these wars. king can't tax the nobility too much without enraging them, and he needs their political alliance, so he starts taxing the peasants. He does sort of this unprecedented move called poll tax. We call that an income tax now, we're used to it, but in the 1300s this was a crazy move, so the peasants were being squeezed from both ends. Fixed wages, ever-increasing taxes, and at some point, something snaps. All the king's armies, like I said, they're in Ireland, they're in Northern England, they're in France, there's very few armies defending London. So when the taxmen come to Essex and Kent, this town in southeastern England near London, all of a sudden the peasants start to revolt. And here's the thing about England in the 1300s, every peasant was armed. Everyone had to practice shooting the longbow 4 hours every Sunday because it was the only way, you have to train on the English longbow from birth. So all these well-armed peasants march on the capital, kill every noble in sight, open up all the prisons. This is where John Ball is free. John Ball starts preaching to the peasants. One of the money quote from John Ball is, when Adam delves and Eve span, who then was a gentleman, which is kind of funny because he's like assuming that biblical Eve had a spinning wheel, which obviously wouldn't have existed at the time. And so anyway, how I celebrate this day was by getting way too distracted reading about the peasants' revolt to write jokes.
Perfect. Okay, good. Thank you. That was a lot of information. One more time for Eric Krasner. What you learned a lot in this show. You learned a little bit. Tyler Kenny. It's your turn. Sorry for yelling.
Sorry.
Tyler Kenny, on this date, 1986, Tyler Kennedy, Canadian ice hockey player, was born. Also on this date, 1948, Alcoholics Anonymous is founded in Britain. How did you celebrate the aforementioned combined?
Well, how do you think I celebrated, John? I got drunk. I was 9 months sober. And then I pull up Alta Vista News, and I see the smug, chiseled jawline of that hack, Tyler Kennedy. I taught him everything he knows about hockey. We grew up together in Saskatoon Bay, just skating out there in the frozen ponds, using moose for goalposts and turtles for pucks. Until our mother, I'm sorry, his mother, would call him for dinner. I thought of her like a mother, even though she asked me many times not to. I'd wave goodbye and I'd say, goodbye, Tyler, just hoping he'd look back and wave, but he never did. He'd just run home and take a gravy bath, or whatever kids with houses do. And I'd stay out there on the ice, practicing my slap shot, until I got so tired I just slept under the stars, praying for dawn. Well, in high school, we were the best players on the team. Him because of his skating skills and wrist shot, and me for my feral rage and inability to conceive of my own death. In my senior year, we made it to nationals. We were all so excited, all the talent scouts were going to be there. And rumor had it they had their eyes on the both of us. So 8 minutes into the first, I'm in a face-off, and I don't know what happened, something about the bright lights and the white of the ice, it just reminded me of the void inside of me, of the family that let me be raised by a clan of badgers, about the many nights I spent shivering, eating field mice. The pressure got to me and I just choked. I just choked. I just choked a referee until his eyes rolled back his head. It took a Zamboni to pull me off of him. Well, needless to say, who got drafted to the NHL? Spoiler alert, it was the player that didn't put someone in a coma. My only friend, Tyler Kennedy. And just like that, he was gone. I was left alone, slapping turtles between moose on a frozen pond in Saskatoon Bay. So I crawled into a bottle, and that's where I stayed. On lonely nights like this, after I'm good and drunk, I find myself in a forest, letting out the sorrowful moan of the badger. Thanks, man.
There we go. Jesse Jones, on this date, 1987, Boy George was barred from British TV show, citing that he might be a bad influence. Also on this very date, 1995, Northern Virginia begins using the area code 540. How about these things in regards to celebration?
Hello, Mr. Ross. I apologize for having to do this in such a public manner and setting, but it was quite impossible to reach you outside of this program's hours, as I'm sure you are aware, and were no doubt instrumental in making so. I'm here tonight to present you this petition signed by more than three members of the staff listening public, citing a comprehensive 540-point argument for your immediate and permanent barring from the Stab Comedy Panel, Podcast, Program, Show, and all subsidiaries. Reason number one, and I quote, I mean, just listen to it. Reason number two, excessive cardigan ring.
Been wearing tonight, sorry. Couldn't find it.
Dodge that one.
To the car. Yes.
Reason three, abhorrent personal hygiene, which somehow manages to maintain tangibility through the digital audio form and fills listeners' ears with sad divorcee stink. Reasons 4 through 87, episodes 1 through 83 of said staff program. Reason 88, he sounds like a porcelain clown figurine, came to life, and made a series of terrible, terrible life choices. And it just goes on like that, Mr. Ross. But I'll spare you the remaining 453 hurtful, incisive, hurtful, accurate, and hurtful things on this list of condemnation, because I can tell just by looking at you that this is clearly all that you have. Just as I can tell just by looking at me that this is also clearly all that I have. So I'll just lose this list. Forget the whole thing. Except, you know, maybe three. I can taste your sad over here.
Very good, Jesse John. That was this one's today once. There we go. Yeah. Beautiful. This next segment is called the Topical Haiku Challenge. Gentlemen, please have written three haiku in regard to the following topical story. During a wildlife show in Australia earlier this month, a motherfucking wedge-tailed eagle tried to unsuccessfully fly off with someone's six-year-old child. A hawk tried to pick up a six-year-old and drag it into a tree somewhere. Let's hear your haiku about it, one at a time. We'll start with you, Eric Krasner.
Alright, my first haiku is titled, My Impression of an Australian Parent Watching Her Child Get Almost Taken Away by a Wedge-Tailed Eagle. Crikey! Crikey, mate! Crikey, 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 mate! Crikey! Crikey, mate!
This is called Go Ahead. Go ahead, pet it. It's not like it will attack. Birds only eat seeds.
My first is titled Ho Hum. Nearly abducted by a screeching bird of prey. Australian Tuesdays.
Alright, my second haiku is titled My Impression of an Australian Parent's Friend Trying to Console Her About Her Child Getting Mauled by a Wedge-Tailed Eagle. Mate, it's not that bad. Most Australian children get eaten by dingoes.
I'm not an expert. I have had this bird for days. As surprised as you.
Sentence titled Constant Danger. Hooray! You survived a swooping eagle. Look out! Koala attack!
Wish it was a more simple.
Oh, all right.
Back to 33, please.
Alright, my third. third and final haiku is titled My Impression of an Australian Parent Addressing Her Child's Attacker After the Mauling Incident. Why are you eating kids? Eat some fucking rabbit, mate. This eagle's a cunt.
He never does that. He never does that. Well, usually he won't. Please stop sobbing, ma'am.
Very good. Jesse Jones.
First title, Custody Agreement. What part of every other weekend don't you get? You fucking eagle.
This next segment, called Dating Profiles from the Fictional and or Non-Fictional, please have written... Oh, still playing. There we go. Please compose a dating profile from the following perspectives, everybody. Eric Krasner, please have written a dating profile from the perspective of a spoon. A spoon.
Dating profile from the perspective of a spoon. Mask for mask. Water sports, winky face. Looking for a strong daddy to hold me down while I drink his piss. Choke me while I gargle your urine, baby, I'm wet for you. Fill me with your love juice. And by I mean piss, not cum. My mouth is your toilet. Just make me feel used. P.S. I'm a spoon. Hope that's not weird.
Very good, Eric. I couldn't drink my beer in the middle of that. Tyler Kenny, please have written a dating profile from the perspective of a ham sandwich. A ham sandwich.
Hi there. A little bit about me. I'm 5 hours old. Just getting out of a relationship with an elementary school kid. Let me just say, it didn't end well. I need someone who'll be proud of me, not someone who'll offer to trade me away for the first Lunchable he sees. You don't get to assemble me on some dirty cafeteria table. God made me who I am. Well, actually, that kid's mom made me who I am. God made the pig that used to be who I was. But now I'm all sandwich, thick cut, multi-grain, and just a spear of mayo. And I need someone who will appreciate me for that. But I'm more than just a nice-looking sandwich. I'm a starry-eyed dreamer with big plans that also happens to be a nice-looking sandwich. I want to see the world. I've been stuffed in the back of this locker next to a gym sock since lunch, and I'm starting to wonder if I'll ever see Paris. Come sweep me off my crust. No. I want to feel the wind against my rapidly spoiling lettuce. Please be in a stable career. Height and weight proportionate men only. I take care of myself and I expect you to do the same. I'm no nasty ass tuna salad sandwich. I guess no Muslims? Because of the pork thing, not because I'm afraid of you or anything. Look, fellas, I'm just putting it out there. I know I'm on the rebound, but I'm really looking for a committed relationship with a respectful guy who will do right by me. Make an honest woman out of me. Process me into muscle energy and expel me as waste. 420, okay.
420! We're going to tell our kitty to have a sandwich. Jesse Jones, please write a dating profile from the perspective of a high five. If a high five could write a dating profile, what would it be like?
Username, up top 5 and 5 makes 10. Interested in everyone, all ages, near me, for new friends, ethnicity white.
Ha 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 ha
relationship status in an open relationship. Body type Jack. Myself summary. What I'm doing with my life. Making fucking sick ass palm thunder with a bro anytime something's awesome. Shouting and raging. And appreciating the fuck out of some shit. Right now I'm just trying to get back out there. Doing what really makes me happy. I tried making things work out for a while on the down low, but unfortunately I was too slow. I'm really good at celebrating shit, making introverts uncomfortable, seeing something rad, locking eyes, cocking back, and blasting out up top an open face exploding handshake. Favorite movie, Predator? Favorite shows, X Games, beach volleyball tournaments. Favorite music, anything Kenny Loggins. Favorite food, Sunny D. Six things I can never do without. Landed sick ass kickflips, touchdowns, Neutrogena, new Norwegian formula, fast absorbing fragrance free hand cream, my carbon fiber wrist guard, and a 12 pack of Mike's Harder Black Cherry Lemonade. Spent a lot of time thinking about how sick that spin move was, and how my hand is never not stinging, and how I fucking love it. On a typical Friday night, I am either at the bar, giving every karaoke singer of the night a fierce wrist collision, or finishing the night suspended in midair with the best friend a bro could ever have, after learning a very deep and important life lesson. You should message me if your hands contain an endless barrage of fleshy one megaton excitement explosions, and you've got a car, because it is not safe at all for me to drive.
Very good. That was fictional and or not fictional. Yes. This next category we skipped over, but we're going to go back to. It's called reorganization. Please take this existing acronym and reimagine it. What does it now stand for? Who does it now represent? Today's acronym is Pokemon Go. It's a very long acronym. P-O-K-E-M-O-N-G-O. Eric Krasner, what does Pokemon Go mean to you?
Well, John, it's funny you gave us this challenge because Pokemon Go is actually my entire suicide note.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
When I kill myself, or I'm sorry, if I kill myself, I'm just going to write down Pokemon Go on a piece of paper and everyone's going to get it. Right? We all know what it means, right? Purpose? Okay, I'll just go through it and then purpose of killing Eric, misery over. Now get over it. See, I think what makes it a strong suicide note is that it ends on like a positive beat, you know? Okay, get over it.
Pokemon Go. Pokemon Go. Very good. Very good, Eric. You guys clap for Eric. He's drank that beer way too fast. And now there's a suicide note. Please, Tyler Kenny. What does Pokemon Go mean to you?
It stands for plenty of kleptomaniacs eat money, only never get outed. And it's the perfect crime, really. Like, your change goes missing. And you're like, where did all that change go? And then meanwhile, someone you thought was your friend is pooping into a cut-in-half 2-liter bottle of soda and then going through it with a spoon to take out all the change. Just know it's happening, guys. No, you can choose to live in your perfect world where change just goes missing. Unfortunately, I know better. And I've lost a lot of friends over this. I'm asking them where my change went. Why is this soda bottle cut in half? And they play dumb. Just like a klepto. And this is a disease. And in some ways, I feel sorry for them. Passing coins has to be painful.
and you probably have to do it a lot to make it worth your while. But that doesn't excuse their behavior. So you know what I do? I just keep all my change in my cheeks, and then any time I'm around at a potential kleptos, they can't get it. Or like when I'm driving along, and then just in case like a klepto comes up to the car and tries to rob me, I'll be like, please don't hurt me, sir, I don't have any change. And then, meanwhile, I got 3 dimes and a quarter tucked behind my molar. Not on my watch, klepto. Sometimes I'll even swallow it just to be safe. And then I'll defecate into a soda bottle that I cut in half. And then I'll go through it with a spoon. Boom, I beat them at their own game.
Welcome to Mongo Forest. Me Mongo. Will you be friend of Mongo? Ow! Hey! Why you poke Mongo? Was it Bug? Did you save Mongo from Bug with poke? Ow! Stop that! Mongo's starting to think they're no Bug, and you just like poke Mongo. Mongo no like being poke. Mongo have sensitive hide, despite rough appearance. Ow! Mongo just tried to make friend with stranger. Here Mongo try to expand social circle, embrace new people, new idea. But you hurt Mongo. So Mongo now associate change with pain. Ow! Mongo never trust again. Ow! Okay. Mongo know when Mongo not wanted. Ow!
You win!
Very good, Jesse.
I could probably stop there. That's just one of hundreds of emotionally scarring Mongo poking levels to explore. Mongo. Available in the App Store and Google Play.
Very good. Very good. If there's any tech people who can make this fucking
it's available for development.
This is the final category of our first half of the show. We have another show right after this, so do stay tuned. This next category is called Department of Tourism. Congrats, everyone. You've all been hired as the new tourism director of the following towns. Please make us want to come there and visit or live. Eric Krasner, the name of your town, is called Fistadelphia. Fistadelphia. Let's go there.
Welcome to Fistadelphia, the city that's all about punching and getting punched. Instead of handshakes, we do punches. Pay for Starbucks with a punch. At your bar mitzvah, get punched. At your wedding, punch each other. Then kiss, then punch. When babies are born, instead of slapping them, we punch them. Instead of elections, we have boxing matches. Want to have a kid? Pick a kid. punch that kid's dad. Now that's your kid. Most of our residents have concussions. Our city is hell on earth. I don't have any teeth. I have to take out my dentures and eat with a straw. Don't come to our city. It's terrible. Don't come to our city unless you want to get punched.
Mr. W, Eric Reiser. Yeah. Tyler Kenny, the name of your town is Susan Sarandonton. Susan Sarandonton.
Hello. My name is Todd Schermerhorn, trusted spokesperson, former cult member, and proprietor of Susan Sarandonton, the Grand Canyon's largest living tribute to Susan Sarandon. Susan Sarandonton was founded on the very spot where Thelma and Louise smashed into the canyon floor at the end of the film. Come see the crater. Relive that timeless femme-positive suicide with the whole family. Take a picture next to the actual wig from the Susan Sarandon stunt dummy. I'll even hold it out on the end of a broomstick to complete the illusion. Enjoy a cruelty-free lunch at our Sarandonteria. All of our servers are Susan Sarandon impersonators, and all of our servers are me. Todd Schermerhorn, trusted spokesperson, former cult member, and Susan Sarandon impersonator. Come hear famous lines from the long, illustrious film career of national treasure Susan Sarandon. Come see a mannequin that's dressed like Susan at the end of the Rocky Horror Picture Show. It's in the back of my trailer, locked in a gun safe. It's the most precious thing in my life, but I'll show it to you if you please just visit. Cheryl, I'm sorry for what I did to the family. I was losing it there for a while, but I'm an entrepreneur now. I've totally moved on. I'm doing great. Bring the kids and see. If I'm not back on my feet, then I ain't Todd Schermerhorn, trusted spokesperson, former cult member, on the no-fly list, and father of two lovely daughters that he misses very much. I just want to introduce the girls to Susan. She asks about them all the time. And I know they just hit it off. She was an Enchanted. They love that Disney shit. Come on down to Susan Sarandonton. It's just a short donkey ride down to the bottom of the Grand Canyon. Just ask for Susan. And hey, tell them Todd Schermerhorn sent you. Former cult member on the no-fly list. Father of two lovely girls that he misses very much. And also, if you're Tim Robbins, the husband of Susan Sarandon, or if even you look like him a little, or you startle me when I'm thinking about Tim Robbins, I might just slit your fucking throat. Because she's mine now, and she lives in my gun safe. I'm kind of aggressive. Don't test me, you Tim Robbins looking motherfucker.
Jesse Jones, bring it home, if you would. The name of your city is called A Swimming Holington. A Swimming Holington. Yep.
Yep.
That's it.
Yo, welcome to this here Swimming Holington. We got everything you can need. A hole, a swimmer. Everything. You ever go someplace and see they ain't got no hole? Then you think, well, what this shit in this here? A hole ain't so hard. You just dig it in the ground and there it is. Hell, the shovel does most of the work. Then you just put a hole in there and there you go. That's a swimming hole. Well, that's what we did. And it is. A swimming hole. You wanna go fishing? Well, don't do that here. This here's a swimming hole. You looking for a fishing hole. That's Kenny's place. That's him. Go on, now go and get. Get yourself to a fishing hole, too. We don't want your car in here in a swimming hole, too. A fishing dipping on your toe. And ain't no one going out here. for a bite to eat? Like you a little fish or something? Well, you should have ate before you came to Twin Holland. Ain't no place to get no food in Twin Holland. Now me, I bought a basket full of biscuits. I pick it up over there, what is that place? It's a biscuit a basket? Over on County Road for me? It's the best place around to get a basket full of biscuits. But I ain't telling you nothing new. Everybody know what it's women all into. No, they know about that, y'all. Shit, it was a good biscuit. Well, all right, man. I'm going to get back on to the swimming hole. You want to eat content? I ain't going to tell you what to do. The swimming hole don't need you. Hell, it don't need me neighbor. The swimming hole is playing good on its own there. But that don't mean you can't make it better. See, come on in. Take a dip. Have a soap. Hell, scratch something so bitch if you wanna. Ain't nobody gonna give no damn on my end. They do go pay for this women all. But man, Kenny and them's over at a fishing hole and then they go straight to hell.
Very good. That was a fucking terrible. That's also the end of the show. Now we have another one in 5 minutes. So one more time for Eric Kresner. Staff4Gold.com, everybody YouTube, SoundCloud.